launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
In times such as these, we see the strength and the resolve of the American spirit, and we see the kindness and courage of our people.
President Trump praising the American people while issuing a warning to Florida residents online today, get out before Hurricane Irma. Florida Governor Rick Scott is warning his residents this storm is one of the worst the state has ever seen.
Remember, Hurricane Andrew is one of the worst storms in the history of Florida. This storm is much worse and more devastating on its current path.
President Trump and First Lady Melania are inviting all the members of the cabinet and their spouses to Camp David this weekend. A White House official says that President Trump will hold his fourth cabinet meeting on Saturday, where he'll lead a discussion on administration priorities. The president is also receiving briefings on Hurricane Irma preparations and Hurricane Harvey recovery. USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. I've been in the investment business for 32 years, managing money for the Wall Street elite and raising hundreds of millions for their companies. In 2003, I created the VRA, my investment and economic newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. We're not a brokerage firm. I tell you what stocks to buy using my proprietary VRA investing system, and then I tell you exactly when to sell and take profits. My system tracks the smart money, using a combination of fundamental and technical analysis, and only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership to the VRA. You get my daily market commentary and special reports, including my number one recommendation, which is already up 300% this year. To receive your two free weeks, go to VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com. If you act now, you also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. I look forward to helping you crush Mr. Market at VRAinsider.com.
Well, hello. We'll be back with It's the Sports Guys. I'm Pat Smits, one of the sports guys, and Bill Wolfson is here with me, but just wanted to give you an update on the weather. Supposed to be the possibility of isolated showers this afternoon, only about 20%. It was certainly beautiful all afternoon when I came in. Still looks like it's a nice day out there. But the days, you're going to be really pleased with this weekend if you want to get up and out. And, of course, Bill is our resident boat guy. And, Bill, it should be a beautiful day. Saturday, sunny, high of about 72 degrees. Sunday, again, sunny and high of about 70 degrees. And even Monday, mostly sunny, mostly clear nights if anyone's concerned about the nights. But this looks like a beautiful weekend.
It's going to be a great weekend for boating as long as you're not trying to head to Florida.
Yeah, let's not even... in fact, for those boaters out there, let me ask you, Bill. I have a friend in Miami that we've invited them to come here and stay with us. They think they're going to ride it out, but I know that they have a large sailboat. What are people doing down in Florida to try to protect their boats? Because, as you know, there are many people here in New Jersey that enjoy boating. And certainly if you know, I'm sure that a lot of boats were damaged in Sandy or destroyed, but what's going to happen in Florida with everyone's boats? How could they have possibly gotten them out of the way of the storm?
Well, there's a lot you can do to protect the boat in a hurricane, but when the boat's number is up, as they say.
But what can you do to protect if you're having 150-mile winds?
Well, here's what I do, and I did this with Hurricane Sandy. First of all, I removed all of the canvas from the boat, the sails, the dodger, the bimini, all those things that keep the sun off or let you hide behind it, and I took those sails ashore and got them to my basement. The second thing that I did was I made sure the boat was hauled out of the water, and they put the boat on a cradle, and in addition to the cradle, they have what are called screw jacks, which are basically pads that hold the hull up on either side of the cradle. There are usually four or six of them, and there's a chain. On top of that, I run chain from the bow and the stern of the boat to the ground, and then I run the chain to, I dig holes, and I dig each of those holes about 3 feet deep, and I put metal anchors into those holes, cover them up with sand and dirt, and attach the chain to it. The advantage of that is if you get storm surge when the boat is on the cradle, the water comes in, maybe the boat lifts up 6 or 8 inches, and then the boat comes back down. And once the water recedes, and when you get another high tide during the hurricane, an additional storm surge, the boat starts to lift off the cradle a little bit, and it comes back down. The other thing that's a good idea to make the boat a little heavier and a little less likely to move is you make sure that the internal water tank is filled and that the internal fuel tank is filled. So it's carrying 75 gallons of water, which at 8 pounds to a gallon is about 600 pounds.
Well, wait a minute. But doing the fuel, don't you risk the possibility of the boat exploding?
Well, diesel has a much higher flash point than gasoline, and my boat runs on diesel. So the advantage of diesel is it's very hard to make diesel blow up, whereas gasoline, as you are correctly pointing out, is extremely volatile.
So you wouldn't give the same advice to someone if they had gasoline?
That's true. You would almost prefer to see the tank empty. Now, if you don't have the luxury of getting it on the land and you're stuck with a marina, well, you've got to get enough line to make the boat look like a big spider sitting in the water. So what you do is you run lines on the bow to the shore and the stern, and you run what are called spring lines from a piling to the middle of the boat. And then you double up on them. And the other thing you do is you take a piece of garden hose and cut it in about 2 foot lengths, and you use it as chafe protector. You put the line right inside the pieces of garden hose, and what that does is it allows the boat to ride up and down with the tide and to move within the slip a little bit, but not so much. The real problem is sometimes a boat can be lifted up so high that it can actually be higher than a piling, and then you have the risk of it landing on a piling and seeing the hull punctured. So that's also a problem. And what you want to do is you want to be able to make sure that if you are in a slip, you've got the boat well tied. If you don't have the luxury of a slip, it becomes even more problematical. You find yourself a mooring, or what people do in the Caribbean, and we're going to see just how well this works, is you find what's called a hurricane hole, a place that's surrounded on 3 or even 4 sides by land with a canal or channel going into the body of water that's surrounded, because swamps, particularly mangrove swamps like you see down south in Florida or in the Caribbean in places like St. John's or St. Thomas, have mangrove swamps. They're sort of like shock absorbers for wind and wave action. And what you do is you tie your boat to trees, have the boat out in the water, drop a couple of anchors, tie the boat to the anchors, make sure those anchors are set real good. And sometimes people just stay on the boats with their engine running till the storm passes so that they can guide the boat to avoid collisions with other boats, because a lot of boats will break free.
But that has to be really dangerous to be on a boat in a hurricane when their wind's going 100 to 150 miles an hour.
It is dangerous, but some people will do that. And I often try to decide whether it's skill, stupidity, or they're just blinded by love for that boat. It's hard to know. You know, when the boat's your home, and we've seen people who have lived on their boats for years and years and have no fixed place of residence, like we like to say in the law. You really don't want to lose your home, but a smart person is going to.
Well, but nobody on land wants to lose their home either.
No, certainly not. But the smart people want to get their boat on the hard. You may recall that in one of the marinas, we had someone who used to work for the Chamber of Commerce, and she and her husband had a power boat in this marina, and because it was literally on the edge of Barnegat Bay and not inside the swamp, the boat was picked up by waves off the cradle it was sitting in and literally thrown about 200 feet into the swamp. Now, probably was washed there by repeated surges from the storm. The big problem for a lot of boats near land is not so much wind, because you can deal with wind, but wave action or storm surge is really the problem, and there are ways of dealing with it. One of the things I was very surprised to learn when I was new to this pastime, this lifestyle, was what the Navy and large ship owners do. And what they do is this. They put to sea. It is safer to be on the ocean, running away from the hurricane, south of it, north of it, east of it, or west of it, than it is to actually be in a hurricane. So you may have seen earlier this week a lot of the cruise ships go out of Port Emerald, which is near Fort Lauderdale, and they basically headed due east and north, because the prediction is that Hurricane Irma is going to go due west and north, west-northwest.
Well, actually, the prediction keeps changing, and I thought it was very interesting the other day. There were a European, I don't know what you would call it, but it was showing on the map how the Europeans thought it would go, and then how they thought it would go in the U.S., and it looks now, the latest that I've seen, it looks like it's going right up the middle of Florida, and it's actually going to be wider than the state of Florida. So they're really concerned about that. And also there's a question, of course, if it hits Cuba, that will slow it down. I hope nobody is hoping that it hits Cuba just because it will slow it down. But we're seeing the devastation in St. Thomas and in all other areas. Now, I'm assuming these cruise ships are going out empty.
That's right.
Because one of the things that I've seen is that people who had planned on going to cruises, of course, they're still stuck in the airports, you know, trying to get back out of Florida. And the one thing that I really can't understand is if you look at the roads, the highways, double-lane highways coming north are just bumper to bumper, and yet they haven't opened up one half of the highway going south. In other words, these two-lane roads, you know, I can understand that they might want to keep one lane open. There's almost no traffic. And why in the world they aren't opening up one of the southbound lanes for northbound traffic is just absolutely beyond me.
Well, what happens sometimes is this. They will leave the lanes to the north open, not use a toll booth because they want people to get through there quickly. But you need to leave one lane open going in the opposite
direction. Yeah, you're right, but they're leaving two lanes. You look and you'll see going north, bumper to bumper traffic, very slow, and then coming south, you know, maybe once in a while you'll see a vehicle. Now, I can understand why they want to get gasoline trucks and other supplies, but they really could open up one of those lanes, and frankly, there'd be so much traffic, I can't even believe it would be that dangerous. They can certainly have police out there. They can have other things. You know, we do that all the time when there are highway construction where you block off a lane and you have everybody going, you know, the opposite direction just because you need to work on the road. So that seems to be very foolish in light of the fact that people are running out of gasoline. I mean, the one good thing that I know was a problem here during Sandy and at another storm earlier is that our gasoline stations here, many of them did not have generators. Now, the one thing that is mandatory in Florida is at least they have generators. So,
well, you're right. The gas station should have generators.
Well, yes, because here we had a diesel generator at our house, and we couldn't get diesel fuel because none of the stations around had any. They were all shut down, not because they didn't have gasoline or diesel, but because they didn't have power. So anyway, we can get back to some sports. I mean, one of the things that I was really very pleased to see last week is J.J. Watt, who anybody who's a football fan knows plays for Houston. And I don't know what he's collected now, but the last time I saw it, it was over $2 million.
Wow, that's great.
To help. And I know that Jerry Jones, not my favorite guy, but apparently he donated $1 million. I know that the Packers at their last preseason game donated $100,000. And so the devastation, though, I don't think anyone can really, you know, appreciate it if you've never been in one of those disasters. And when you see people, you know, trying to find family photos and, you know, losing everything often means literally losing everything, including, you know, all of your family photos, all of your family, you know, whether you call them heirlooms or not, but all of those favorite things. And that's one of the traumatic things that happen to families in that kind of a loss. But I really applaud J.J. Watt and, you know, everybody who's trying to do what they can.
I appreciate what you're saying, Pat, and I only hope that the money actually gets to the victims rather than getting caught up and sucked up into administration and things like that.
Well, I think with J.J. Watt, that's true, and I'm not going to give you my views on the Red Cross based exactly on that. But in any event, let's get to some sports.
Hey, who won the football game last night?
Oh, come on. You didn't watch it?
I had too much else to do, Pat.
Oh, please. It was. I only saw part of it, but you know, I think that kind of like the Yankees, there are a lot of baseball fans. If they don't like the Yankees, they hate the Yankees. I think that can be same thing can be said about the Patriots. I mean, yes, there's some diehard Patriot fans. In fact, I had to go to the dentist this morning, and she is a Patriot fan, and I'm always a little hesitant to go after a football game, but usually it's great because the Patriots have won. But last night, they lost big.
Really? 42 Andy Reid surprised everybody.
42-27.
Wow.
I thought Andy Reid looked, he's looking good. He looks so much better than he did a few years ago from a personal standpoint. But the Patriots really, they really missed Edelman. Their wide receiver. That was clear.
Julius Edelman is really their big receiving weapon.
And
I
mean,
Tom Brady must feel lost without him.
Well, I understand that he's out for the season. That was the latest I'd heard. But Kansas City's quarterback, Alex Smith, looked sharp. If you remember, and I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers came up on the same draft. And Smith was drafted much earlier than Aaron Rodgers and has not had what I would consider a stellar career, but he really looked good last night. He really looked great. Brady, on the other hand, did not. I mean, yes, he was missing Edelman, but he seemed to be throwing balls over the heads of his receivers. Kansas City really boxed him in. You could tell he was, he was thoroughly outplayed. I mean, the Patriots were thoroughly outplayed. But he, you know, he was throwing the balls over heads of receivers. He just didn't have many receivers open. I mean, the Kansas City, and I don't know the names of most of the defensive players in Kansas City, but they were really doing their job. and they kept Brady under pressure most of the game. And I think he was sacked, probably three, maybe even four times. So it was a real turnaround, and it has to give teams, even your Jets, some hope that, maybe they don't always have it together.
Well, for the Jets, a win against the Patriots is like the Jets winning the Super Bowl. The Jets are not a good team yet. They won't be for a while. But, they haven't played a game yet, and I know they do play the Patriots twice, and they're going to play Kansas City this year, I think in December or November. And that ought to be a good game to go to.
And where is that? In Philadelphia?
That's here in New Jersey. The Jets will play the Chiefs. And strangely enough, the Eagles also play the Chiefs this year. So it'll be a homecoming for Andy Reid in a strange way.
Well, that will be an interesting game.
It is, if only for that reason. The Eagles have been in a rebuilding mode since Andy Reid left. We may remember that Reid left. He had some terrible personal problems, including the loss of his son, the incarceration of another, and it was just time for him to move on. But I always thought Andy Reid was a great coach, and his successor, who will go unnamed, managed to take a team that went 10-6 frequently and turned them into a 4-12 team in less than two seasons. So what do you do about something like that? You get rid of that coach. So Doug Peterson is looking pretty good. Meanwhile, I think the Giants are looking to be the class of the NFC East. I just don't see Dallas.
Really?
I just have a feeling, and Ezekiel Elliott's suspension, which I think is four games.
It was six, unless I know he appealed, but
four.
I thought, did they lop off two?
I don't know. I heard four, but maybe I didn't hear correctly.
Initially it was six.
And hopefully it'll stay that way, if only for the rest of the NFC's sake.
But he's not missing. Aren't they playing the Giants this week?
They open with the Giants. I think the game is this Sunday in Dallas.
Well, and he, my understanding, and I don't think I'm wrong, I don't think they came down with a decision on time to keep him out of this game. I think he's not missing this game, but then he misses the next six games. I know that would mean he misses the Cowboy-Packer game. But I could be wrong, but it seems to me that there was something to do with the fact that they didn't get the decision on time for him to have to sit out this game. That should be, if he's in this game, it should be very interesting.
I would think so. I look for Eli Manning to have a good game. He's got some good targets. Odell Beckham looks diva that he is, like a great receiver.
Oh, please. I've known good receivers and, probably as good as Beckham, who is just not such a jerk.
Or showboat.
Yeah. But he's even more than a showboat. I mean, when he, bashed in the wall at Packer at Lambeau Stadium after they lost that last game. I mean, that was really very juvenile.
Well, it's time for him to grow up and show what kind of a leader he can be if he's capable of it. That's all I can say. Meanwhile, we have, as you correctly point out, beautiful weather this weekend. The Yankees had a huge win against Baltimore last night. They won 2 out of 3, and tonight they're facing the Texas Rangers in Dallas, Fort Worth area, not too badly battered by Hurricane Henry. And the Yankees are looking to sneak up on the Red Sox. They're still 3.5 out, but last night the Yankees won 9-2. They got their rookie Aaron Judge is 39th home run of the year. He's close to Mark McGwire's records for the most home runs by a rookie, and we're hoping to see him eclipse that record, so to speak. Meanwhile, the Yankees had some sad news. Former Yankee manager, GM, and shortstop Gene Michaels died 2 days ago. He was 79 years of age and a very well-known Yankee. He was a Yankee in the organization for almost 50 years. He started as a shortstop, light hitting but great fielding, became the general manager, and he also managed. He was 79. He helped build the teams that won four World Series. Gene Michael was the heyday, was also the heyday of the boss, George Steinbrenner. George had a revolving door of players, coaches, managers, and front office personnel going in and out, Michael was fired a couple of times and then hired back. As an infielder, Gene Michael played 7 years in the late 60s and early 70s and anchored the infield at short. He was 6'2", which is big for a shortstop, but only weighed 180 pounds. And Gene Michael was light hitting, but quick, smooth, and very deft defensively. His forte was the hidden ball trick, and he got five or six outs in his career on the hidden ball. Meanwhile, his playing career ended in 76, right after Steinbrenner Syndicate had taken over ownership of the Yankees from CBS. And he had two stints as general manager, another as manager. And then in the 80s, he managed the Chicago Cubs. He returned as Yankee GM from 90 until 95, and in that second go-round as the Yankee GM, he built the core team that won a bunch of World Series. He also hired Joe Torre, and he was also a Yankee coach. He also oversaw the scouting. Gene Michaels, through clever trades, the draft, free agent signings, and the retention of promising minor leaguers, built a very good team. He created the path that put such Yankee stars as Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, Andy Pettit, Jorge Posada, Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams, Tino Martinez, Dave Cone, and Joe Girardi in the Yankee uniform for many, or maybe all, of those four Yankee championship teams. He succeeded Dick Houser as manager after the 1980 Yankees, who won 103 games, were swept by the Royals in the Atlantic in the American League Championship Series. He was an interesting guy. He realized that he couldn't hit well. He was never a guy with a lot of upper body strength. He didn't work out the way a lot of other players work out more. So he figured he had to learn every nuance of the game. And towards the end, working through this, he said he either loved baseball or at least came to know it better, so he started to think about managing. Gene Michaels was born on June 2, 1938, in Kent, Ohio, and was an outstanding basketball player at Kent State and was signed with the Pirates organization in 1957. He will be missed. He was a legendary Yankee ball player and manager. As I mentioned, he had the hidden ball trick, which would result in him tagging out three or four unsuspecting runners, leading off second, who was guessing at the pitcher had the ball. Whatever a team fight, Gene Michaels was the guy everybody wanted on their side. In one very memorable brawl, Michaels took on Carlton Fisk, who outweighed him by at least 20 pounds, had the advantage of a chest protector. The fight got started when Michael, at the plate, missed a squeeze bunt as Thurman Munson was barreling home from third base. Munson crashed into Fisk and the benches emptied. Michael held his own in a skirmish in which nobody was hurt. He ended his playing days as shortstop under former Yankee manager Ralph Houk, who had been with the Tigers at the time. Then he signed with the Red Sox for the season, but they never put him in the lineup, and they finally released him in May of 76. He had a career batting average of .229 with only 15 home runs. The reason they called him Stick was because of his height and because he was so lanky. Gene Michaels was very, very respected in the Yankee organization and had a lot of criticism and problems with George Steinbrenner and used to challenge him to fire him. Gene Michaels, he will be missed. And that's about all I have to say on the subject. He was quite a guy.
Well, thank you. One of the things, and you know me, I don't know much about the rookies on the Giants, but I understand there's some excitement over Evan Engram, who's their rookie tight end. Do you know anything about that? I know he's expected to have a big role against the Cowboys this week, and I'm not sure, you know, while there were some other tight ends that I had heard more about, one of the O.J. Howard and David, is it Njoku, N-J-O-K-U? He sounded like a very interesting, at least because of his name. They were expected, I understand, to have some pretty, impact pretty quickly, but I had never heard of Evan. So any information about him? I guess we should wait until John gets here.
Well, I think we go to our number one Giant fan, John Manfred, if we want any accuracy. I will tell you, though, I saw the Temple University-Notre Dame game, and Notre Dame looked pretty good, and Temple looked pretty darn bad. I think Temple's seen a lot of its better players graduate. Hopefully they can pull it together again this weekend when I think they play Toledo.
Well, talking about, I went to the University of Wisconsin, and the only University of Wisconsin is Madison. For those of you who ever have someone say they went to the University of Wisconsin, now I guess because the state colleges all became part of the university, you know, anybody who went to what we consider the state colleges now consider themselves a University of Wisconsin grad. So that's why people now distinguish whether or not they went to Madison. But they have a real exciting player who came from Salem, New Jersey.
Salem County or Salem, New Jersey.
Salem, New Jersey.
That's another named quarterback.
No, Wisconsin.
Oh, he's from Wisconsin.
No. The first, he's a true freshman playing at Wisconsin. He's from Salem, New Jersey. His name is Taylor. Really exciting guy. Did not look to be that big, but Salem is kind of down in the southern part of the state, and you don't hear about them being big in football.
I think the only time you hear about Salem County is when you're on a turnpike and you've got to go to Delaware. If you go over the Delaware Memorial Bridge, you go through Salem County. But Salem County is about as rural in New Jersey as you can get. Salem and Gloucester counties, way down south, and a long ride. If you ever made the trip from Salem County all the way over to Cape May, it's an interesting part of New Jersey. Lots of small towns that nobody's ever heard of if they live 30 miles away. And remember, these were the towns that supported themselves on the bay with oystering and fishing and things like that. And, are not the fancy part of New Jersey that we think of when we think of North Jersey or even a place like beautiful Hunterdon County. And speaking of Hunterdon County, I saw in the Courier News today very briefly the headline that Hunterdon County is looking to promote tourism and more of the outside activities that we have. So hopefully, Pat, we'll be able to reach out to the freeholders and some of the businesses out here and get them to come in and be our guests and hopefully even our sponsors.
Well, actually, Hunterdon County, I think, is noted for a number of things. I mean, the baseball, Diamond Nation.
Sure.
I've talked to people who come bring their kids to Diamond Nation from all over, the state. And, of course, parents now, I think some parents are spending all their time with the traveling teams, the soccer teams, the baseball teams, and, but Hunterdon has always been, important. You even have schools now like Hopewell Valley, that for years Hopewell Valley did not have a football team. And so now Hopewell Township, which is a very large township, of course, just south of Hunterdon County, they now have a football team. In fact, my grandson is on their freshman team. And hopefully, I don't know if Hopewell's ever been really a contender, but, there are some schools in New Jersey that are really incredible. And so And it's fun to watch high school teams. I mean, if you go to the Phillipsburg, they are diehard football fans over in Phillipsburg.
Oh, they sure are. There are a couple of games in Philly, that Peaberg plays that people wait for all year round.
Well, Thanksgiving Day game on against Easton is one of those. Well, Bill, why don't we go to some of the spots for our sponsors, and then we'll come back and hopefully John will manage to get here by that time. So hold on, we'll be back.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908 238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'd like to go
okay,
Max.
Guys, we're back. It's the sports guys.
Good afternoon.
And we have a John Manfreda sighting. We actually have been great with the presence of a Red Sox fan and a Giants fan.
Good afternoon, Bill, and thank you very much.
And John, let's talk about those cheaters, those Red Sox. Have they been infected by the New England Patriots?
You know, Bill, there's a disputed report about who's using what technology. The last time I looked, the Y in the YES Network stood for Yankees Entertainment and Sports Network, and there's a direct feed into the Yankee dugout, and what we think is in violation of MLB regulations about that. But having said that, it provides interesting banter. I would say this to you, though. If they're cheating, they ain't doing a very good job of it because they're only 3-4 games up. You'd like to think if you were cheating, you're going to be like Brady when he cheated with Aussie. He was up 42-7. Okay, if you're going to cheat, cheat smart. So if they're cheating, Bill, they're not cheating very smartly.
Well, that's
true.
Well,
talk about cheating, and I have to say this. You guys are radio fans. You listen to the radio more than I do.
That's
sure.
Right.
What happened to Boomer's cohort? I mean, come on.
Well, I have gone on record many, many times. I won't even mention his name. He's a disdainful character. I can't stand his grating voice. When I tune in to the fan, if he's on, I immediately change the station. This was music to my ears because I've always suspected that he was dirty. But he got fired off of 101.5 for unethical conduct, and here we go again. Plus, he's embarrassing Boomer Esiason, for whom I have the greatest respect.
Well, Craig Carton is who you're talking about.
Right.
As you said.
And as I said, and I don't know enough about this. It's a controversy I have not been following.
It's very bad, and I think they've only scratched the surface.
It's like
a Ponzi.
It's
a pyramid, Ponzi.
Ponzi scheme.
But it goes beyond any one thing. He had his hands in a lot of pies, apparently. They find out this guy's a mafia type, makes the mafia look good.
Well... Okay, I didn't.
Now it's a bad situation. I certainly wish him and his family all the best. I would never, as much as I might dislike him professionally, would never wish anything bad to happen. So having said that, Pat, and moving on to the NFL with the banter that we were kicking around here a little bit before we. While we were on break, had to do with this weekend. Before we get there, how about those Andy Reid Chiefs?
Oh, my gosh. I talked about that. I mean,
yeah.
Did you watch that game?
I watched parts of it. What it seemed to me, they departed from their usual game, which is a lot of pressure up the middle in the face of the quarterback, and Alex Smith had all day to throw. You give Alex Smith, you give Eli Manning, you give – probably Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins. You give guys like that who are in the second tier, let's say they're in the you've got basically three tiers of quarterbacks, all right? So you take that 10 to 20 and you take the pressure away from them, they vault into the top 10.
Oh, absolutely. Alex Smith looked
looks like Aaron Rodgers out there, except for the dancing around.
He did. And of course, Brady looked... Now, they were really pressuring Brady.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the only way you can beat New England. Yeah. I mean, the Giants created that blueprint 10 years ago. The only way you beat Tom Brady is direct pressure in his face right up the
but
middle.
Whoever was, Gronkowski... really didn't do anything.
Mean, now, the Chiefs game planned him out of the – you have to take Gronkowski out of the game
but
and
they
reach your life.
I mean, other than that one touchdown that was called back.
Yeah.
I mean, they just
– yeah. Well, Andy Reid is a very good coach. Some people might even say he's a near great. And he had a great game plan going in. And what's amazing is they were down 7-0, and then the kid on his first carry, the kid who had never fumbled in college, and you think, oh my God, this is going to be 14-0 New England.
So
it's going to turn into a rout.
And you really felt so sorry for him.
For
and you
kid.
Thought they'd pull him out. And then what? He made one spectacular run. It was towards the end of the game, as I recall.
He had a great game, over 100 yards.
What, 100, I thought he had about 160 yards, and maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, 141, lot of yards.
So, but what was great is they put him back in. It's like when you fall off a horse, you get back on.
Absolutely.
And,
yep.
And of course, Alex Smith threw to him. So, you know.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it too, Pat and Bill. I'm not sure how you weigh in on this, but I think with Alex Smith, again, if he has a little bit of time, he reminds me a lot of Eli in the sense that his skill set needs a little time to read the defense, set up, cock his arm, and throw it. He was a first overall pick in the draft 10 years ago.
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers. They were in the same draft.
Yeah. That's that.
But he's never had the intuition that a Rodgers has had.
No question, you're right about that.
Anticipates the play developing.
Yeah,
and that's
I think that's the distinction.
Greatness from good.
But that's very well put, Bill, and I agree with you. But I think, as far as last night goes, to answer Pat's question, what do I really think? It's the first game of the year. It's the healthiest anybody's going to be. And I think over the last couple years, even though the Chiefs have a decent offensive line, he got a little beat up, Alex Smith. And he's not a huge guy. I think he's the kind of guy that as the season goes on, his effectiveness reduces because he's just taking his lumps. And whereas last night, he looked as good as you're ever going to see Alex Smith.
Well, what about, how devastating was it to the Patriots that they didn't have Edelman?
Well, they are still adjusting to that, no question, because Edelman was a big part of their offense for the last several years.
Yeah, and whatever Andy did with Gronkowski, I mean, he just...
Well, what I never understood, what I would do, especially if I were the linebacker coach, is I'd put somebody up on the line to chip him. There should be somebody within 3 feet of Rob Gronkowski, and every time the ball was snapped, you just run diagonally into him to chip his shoulder pad so he can't get a clean break off the line. I've never understood that because he can't be running forward, as we know, because that's enough. Okay, so maybe he's in motion. So you still put a shadow on him. When the ball is snapped, you cross the line, you go right into him. Even if you're out of the play temporarily, you prevent him from getting downfield. To me, it's not that difficult to impede the progress of any one player. And that's a guy you'd have to key on because the Patriots have not had outstanding wide receivers for years.
Well, as I said to Bill before you came in, I had to go to the dentist this morning. And my dentist is a Patriots fan. So I'm always a little leery about going in.
Careful what you say.
Well, no, my dentist.
Novocaine wore off quickly.
She, by the way, she knows that I'm a Packer fan. So it's always fun. That, you know, I think most of the people in that office must think we're crazy because, you know, we're talking football. But, you know, in one sense, I'm always happier to go in on a Monday morning after the Patriots have won.
Of course. Yeah. Very good point.
But, you know, my Packers are playing, of course, Sunday, their first game. And
who do they have this week, Pat?
Oh, I've just done a blank.
And I think they're like a 6-point favorite. Is it? It's not Minnesota, is it? They have a division game.
Don't they play the?
I don't think so.
Well, we'll get back to you, folks. We'll get back to you, folks, in a moment.
I know that I'm trying to figure out how to get out to the New Orleans game. I think that's the one I want to see because I really don't want to go in December. You know, they've made some good trades this year, and it should be. They look good in the last. You know, this is their first season game, of course, and they looked good last year.
Oh, this is a big game. The Packers are home to the Seahawks.
That's right.
The Packers are 3-point favorites in that game. And
that's right.
Let me tell you something. I think the Seahawks have reloaded. They're not getting as much respect as they probably should.
And they play a tough – they always play a tough game against the Packers. You're right, because if it wasn't such an early game early in the season – I would have gotten tickets for this. I've always enjoyed Seahawk Packer games, you know, and it's a little too warm for the Packers.
Yeah.
No, seriously, And it may be too dry for the Seahawks, but that should be that I think it will be a good game. That may be one of the better games on Sunday, although I guess most people would dispute that and they would think the Giants, the Giant Cowboy game. But that's in Dallas, isn't it?
The Giant Cowboy game is in Dallas. My daughter has been unable to secure a ticket for me to that game, so I will be watching. But I will be in Boston this weekend anyway for my cousin's wedding, and I'd have to drive back to New Jersey on Sunday afternoon. Anyway, there's no way I could get to Dallas as it turns
because you
out.
Can always get a ticket if you're willing to pay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was hoping my daughter, working for Fidelity, would be able to, you know, get one of the corporate seats there. But she's only been working there 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think
she's a manager, but she's not running the company yet.
Well, maybe the next time they play.
Well, that, yeah, perhaps.
But because they'll play, when do they play in New York?
I believe that game comes up towards the end, near the end of the year.
Well, that
it's
might be
maybe
a
December
fire.
Game.
December 1 game.
Yeah, yeah, I think they play the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Cowboys the last 3 games. They're doing that now in the division. They're setting up these divisional games.
Well, that might be a really fun game, depending on... I've actually thought that the Cowboys would really be even a better team this year than they were last year. But who's their real competition? The Giants. Who else?
Well, the Eagles are in a rebuild year. There's a guy I recommend everybody take a look at wide receiver for Philly, Alshon Jeffries.
Yes, you're right.
He is a good player. His specialty is that breaking over the middle, getting free from traffic, and catching a ball.
He's a big target, which will help Wentz with his accuracy and getting those 15 to 20 yard pass completions. Plaxico Burress type.
They're saying that Alshon Jeffries is as talented as Terrell Owens, but without Terrell's personality issues. So hopefully, we will see a Eagle resurgence and see a very competitive Eagle team this year. At least on offense, but they were pretty good on defense last year. The interesting thing is going to be how the Redskins defensive. They may decide to double team him, which of course will leave Ertz or Celek open, or even Nelson Aguilar, the rookie who has no longer a rookie. Great potential, but we're still waiting for Nelson Aguilar to pan out and show us the kind of player he really can be here in Philadelphia.
Well, I'm certainly. Maybe not as happy as most people that Sunday's supposed to be a nice day, since it's more fun to sit inside and watch football when it's not the greatest day outside. Although I've started a little trick, and that is there are so many commercials. So if you start watching the game, don't answer the phone, don't do anything else. But if you start watching the game about 20 minutes into it, you can skip through all the commercials.
What, on a TiVo type?
You DVD it. Whatever you do.
That's right. It spoils it for me that there's so many commercials and there's so much marketing going on and there's so many interviews on the sidelines.
Yeah, the sideline reporters are terrible. You're right.
But
I want to see.
Except for Pam Oliver. She can interview all of
us.
What's that?
Who is this?
Pam Oliver. She can sideline all she wants.
All right.
But what about Deborah Wolfson? How many of you have seen Deborah Wolfson on the NFL sidelines? Now, I don't think she's
that a must be a new name, Bill. Yeah, maybe distant relative.
Take a look. There's Deborah Wolfson, a female sideline reporter, I think on ESPN.
But, the other day we watched the preseason game. I don't know how we got it. Somehow we got it, and... had it taped, but it was the Green Bay announcers, and it was so much fun because they weren't doing all this chatter. I mean, they were really giving you good information, quiet time so you could watch the plays, and I thought, gee, it's too bad that we can't always get the Green Bay, either the radio announcers, who sometimes I know people in Green Bay that they'll turn off and they'll just listen to the radio to listen to the announcers and while they're watching the game at the stadium. But I find it's getting more and more irritating to listen to some of these people, and I won't say who, but I mean some of them are much better. Actually, I think Troy Aikman is pretty good.
I think Aikman is perhaps the best color man. I think Phil Simms was right up there, but I think Troy has a lot of credibility.
Yep.
He's a nice guy. He never takes a shot at anybody. He's very deferential. Just an all-round good guy, very bright, and a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, no, I do too, but some of them I, you know, not else. But
now,
so,
now unfortunately, he's paired with Little Joe.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, I think that they could do better. Actually, I think some of the sports programs, the guys who are on some of the sports programs, not announcing the games, but on the sports programs, some of them are really good. I mean, and I'm amazed at how much they know.
It is amazing, yes.
You know, I mean, and many of them are former players, obviously, but these are not dumb football players. I mean, they really, not only do they know things about all of the players on all
well,
of the
plus
teams.
Well, plus, by former players, they get in the locker room, they're going to get information that a lot of other reporters aren't going to get.
Right. So I don't know who the Packers had to cut. I know they were still up to, you know, 59, I think, the last time. They were really having a hard time because they had a number of really good rookies that unless they can keep them all on the practice squad. Is there a number that you have to have on the practice squad? I mean, does that...
Well, yeah, 53 on the main roster.
Well, that's the main roster.
And then I think it's either 9 or 12 or something.
But so there's a limit. They couldn't have 30 people on
the agree. Practice. Yes, yes. There's a limit to that, too. Yeah,
yeah, a couple of the rookie quarterbacks, you know, they may get some good contracts other places because everybody knows that, you know, I mean, the Packers are not going to keep 3 or 4 quarterbacks
right.
in addition to Aaron Rodgers
right.
because of the
yep.
cap. But some of these guys looked really pretty good in preseason. Some of them
it's
didn't.
Amazing how good teams and players look on week one. It's kind of like spring training in baseball.
Exactly.
Hope springs eternal. Well, even in Cleveland, things are looking up.
Well, you know, it's about time things looked up in Cleveland because they've had a terrible time. Finally, they've begun to have a good team that's got to the
World Series. At least Cleveland's not Philadelphia. You actually have a couple of championships in Cleveland, not in football. But.
Well, guys, I think it's time to say goodbye. We have a couple more spots.
Let's
and
hit
then
that money
going
button,
to
Pat, and
cut
wish
us
everybody
off.
To get up off that couch.
Okay. Hope to see you all next week, and we'll have news of what's happening after the first week. In football, we're back to football. Bill, forget sailing, it's done.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.